I wrote a letter to my professor in Michigan, asking him to recommend me somebody in Seattle that he knows so that I can find a job there. Mm-hmm. He wrote me a nice letter, recommending me to meet fella in the Alumni Association, the Michigan Alumni Association. So I went meet this fella. It happened that what is his name? I forgot his name. It's long ago. I went to, it happened that this fella was a chief auditor in the telephone company. His position is pretty powerful there at that time, see. So I went to see him for a job. He said, we're going to have alumni association meeting next week. Mm-hmm. I want to invite you to the meeting. So I attended the meeting the following week. He introduced me to many prominent people there, because they are the Alumni Association, they are highly trained people.
Were they all Caucasians?
They're all Caucasians. I didn't see any Chinese there. Mm-hmm. They're all Caucasians. They are lawyers, judges, and engineers. A lot of people holding high positions. He introduced me to all those people. And when I left there, those people, after the meeting, when I left there, those people said, "Well, Mr. Chang, we will keep our eyes open. We will see what we can find for you." That's the end of it. See? So I called this fellow again about a month later.
What kind of job were you looking for?
I was looking for an accounting job. Say, any office job, mm-hmm. related to my field. And I call him back again. He said, "Well, I haven't heard from any of these fellow alumni yet. Keep your finger crossed and we might be able to do something for you." Mm. So that's that.
So what did you do?
Okay. So I went. At that time, it just so happened a relative of mine up in Seattle was going to open a restaurant, a big restaurant, and he wanted me to be the manager, so I managed the restaurant for him.
Oh, I see.
See. Then the war came. So then the war came, and it's entirely a different thing now. At that time, when the war came, when they need people, mm-hmm. They need all kinds of workers. Mm-hmm. So discrimination was gone. Mm-hmm. But regardless who you are, what kind of a color your face is, they hire you immediately.
So when did you?
So
change jobs.
I didn't change job. I managed that restaurant till 1944.
Oh.
But I went to the shipyard to work in 1942.
So you have two jobs
there. I have two jobs at the same time. So
what did you do in the shipyard? What kind of shipyard?
Building ships.
Battleships?
Just cargo ships.
Oh, cargo ships.
Big cargo ships.
Uh-huh.
The Top Pacific Shipyard. That's a big company. We hire 30,000 people
oh.
in a shipyard.
Uh-huh. And what kind of job you did there?
As a payroll auditor. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was payroll auditor there. So it's very easy for me to get in. Because we operate a big restaurant, I have become to know quite a few people. At that time, it happened that one of the supervisors in the shipyard came in to the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and I had known him very well. So I asked him, I said, can you get me a job over there in the shipyard? He said, oh yes, you can come in anytime. You can start working anytime.
Mm.
So, but he said, well, it happened that you have an alumni over there in our shipyard who is holding a very important position. His name is Mr. Goodrich, and he is a chief engineer there.
Mm.
I give you his number, you call him up, he probably will get you a job over there. So instead of calling him up, he called me up.
Mm.
You know, Mr. Goodrich called me up.
Mm.
He said, oh, I learned from so-and-so that you are one of the Michigan alumni and you want the job in the shipyard. I said, what department were you in, you know? I told him that I major in economic statistics and accounting. So he said, well, you come over and I'll get a job for you. It was so easy that you can't believe it. So I went in to see him. He took me down to the accounting department and introduced me to the chief accountant there. I got a job right away. He said, you can start anytime you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that the same situation in Los Angeles when you came down here in 44?
In 44, I opened my office. There was no trouble.
Oh, okay. Why you decide to open your own office instead of...
Well, I like to serve the public. See, I like to serve the public. Especially the Chinese community. I heard about the Chinese community. There are a lot of Chinese here that need
mm-hmm.
the coming service.
Was your first office in
yeah.
Chinatown?
Where's
the? Not this office. I presume.
Not this office. I started on First Street. That was back in 1944. 35 years ago.
All your customers were Chinese at the
time? Yeah, 90, I would say 98%. I have a few Caucasian accounts. Yeah.
What kind of business were they in, the Chinese?
Chinese mostly laundry.
Oh.
Grocery stores.
Uh-huh.
Liquor stores.
And restaurants.
And restaurants, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But the laundry is the Chinese backbone.
Even now, I would presume there has been
no,
a
No, not now. Like now it's different.
Yeah.
And of course, restaurant is the one now.
Uh-huh.
Restaurant take the place of the laundry.
Do they have a good income, like for the, this laundryman or?
Yeah, they can survive. The laundryman, they work hard. They make they make their living.
Like before World War II, about 44, 45, when you just started, most these accounts, average income is like what for one.
Average income about between $3,000 and $5,000
a year.
A year.
Gross or net?
Net.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
For the restaurant will be new.
Restaurant, it varies. See, laundry, almost all set between 3,000 and 5,000-6,000.
Uh-huh.
But the restaurant, if you operate a big restaurant, you can net about $30,000-$40,000.
How about the small one?
Small one, they just barely make it in between 3,000-5,000, maybe 10,000.
What do the former owners of laundromats do when their business started to decline? Did they switch into another profession?
Yeah, they switch into grocery store business.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, grocery business good or in terms of income?
In terms of income, it's laundry. Grocery store, they don't know how to operate a grocery store. Because you have to know a lot of English.
Oh.
You have to know a lot of English because when you buy goods, you have to select those goods.
How about the old time grocers, like the ones already begin, start with the grocery business? Do they make good?
Oh, yeah.
How about their income, average income?
Their average income for all the grocery store that we have here, it varies from as low as 5,000 to as high as 50,000, 60,000.
When was this?
No.
No, but that. Before then,
like in the
40s,
45.
Yeah.
Oh, 44, 45. There weren't too many big grocery stores. They can't make that much money.
About several thousand dollars.
$10,000.
Did you ever have a count of this produce market?
No. I don't handle those.
How about the workers? Did you have any idea how much the workers, the employees of your clients, were making in around the 40s?
Around the 40s?
Yeah, 44.
Not much, but 2,000, 3,000.
A year.
A year.
Mm-hmm. Could you give me a present day equivalent? How much would that be worth now?
Oh, it's at least four times that much, about 8,000, 10,000.
Yeah. Among these accounts, did you find the Chinese put a lot of investment in different areas like real estate and in old days?
Oh, yeah. All Chinese love real estate. They want to buy a house, and they want to buy apartments, and they want to buy commercial stores. As soon as they accumulate some cash, they will put into real estate. This has been the Chinese thinking all the time.
Did they buy like American stocks before World
War II? No. I wouldn't say entirely no, but not that popular. Yeah.
How about did they invest in China? I mean, put the money in the business in China, buy
or
land
real estate in
China, or putting the money in railroad companies or something?
Oh yeah, they do that. They send money back to China to buy land and real estate.
They put more money in China business investment or more in American investment?
Well, I would say this. Before the communists took over mainland, all the old Chinese thinking here was to go back to China. So they accumulate their money
mm-hmm.
and preparing go back to mainland to invest their money or to make their living there. After the occupation of mainland by the communists, they changed their mind and they stayed put over here.
Mm.
That is the thing. Yeah.
Mm.
What about gambling?
Gambling?
How
yeah.
prevalent was it?
At that time, before World War II, Chinese put
Chinese,
a lot of money.
Chinese people love to gamble. That is one thing. Everybody loves to gamble. They, some of these older generation Chinese gamble their money away.
Did you know of any individuals that actually lost
the whole crop or
everything
they properties had? Or everything?
Oh, yeah.
It was, it's illegal, isn't it?
It's
it was illegal
it,
and it is
it is illegal. It was illegal to gamble, but they do it anyway.
Did the police come busting in?
Oh, yeah.
Or were there
even
bribery?
Even though the police came in, the police cannot come in every day. Once in a while, they raided these gambling houses, but they don't
where,
come
where
in
Where were
every
these
day.
Gambling houses located?
It's in Chinatown.
It's in Chinatown, in certain stores.
Or is it just like in the back room of the store?
In the back room of the store. They don't have gambling every day there, you know. When they get together, then they have it.
Did you personally ever witness anybody gamble? Did you ever go to watch people play, whatever?
Yeah.
What sort of things do they
Nothing,
play?
Just gamble.
I mean,
like
what kind of
a gamble? Like pai gao?
Pai gao, mostly pai gao.
Like the rope?
Fan tan ye yao, but mostly pai gao, yeah. Mostly pai gao. That's what they gamble most.
The house make a lot of money out of that?
The house make a commission.
Is that good or considerate?
Oh yeah, they can't lose, you know. They make a commission and they would make some money.
Were this gambling business controlled by certain group, or is just everybody want to be housed, they can do it?
I wouldn't say they're controlled by certain groups, but they are only a few groups of people, you know, who love to gamble. And they...
What do you mean?
Open up for those... see, gambling is one of the vices. It happened like this. Before the war, all these Chinese cannot bring their family over here. So after working hours, what do? They have no place to go. So they get together and gamble.
Mm.
That's all.
And there's no other recreation.
There's no other recreation. They can't read English very well, so they don't even go to a movie. They don't even go to a movie. They just want to get together and gamble, like playing mahjong. This is one of the most common games.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they think that too mild, then they have this
make it more interesting.
Yeah, a pai gao. Yeah, that's that.